Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, it is a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. Oh, Trish, where are you?
I am in a little town center in the Fort Worth area, and I just kept getting rejected by different people saying, no, they can't be on the air, they didn't have time, you know, the usual stories. So then I stopped by Chili's and saw some, you know, food servers outside just kind of chatting, and I went up to them and I said, hey, you know, do you guys have a few minutes? You know, this is what we're doing. I explained the situation. The one food server ran inside, and the other one ran the complete, well, didn't run, but he skipped the other direction. And I turned around, and I go, hey, you, and his name's Brandon. I go, come here. I go, come here, you're the one. What are you running from? Come here. And he turned around. I'm like, why don't you want to talk about spiritual things? Why don't you want to be on the radio? And he got all red, and he kind of hunched over, and I go, come on, what's going on with you? And so this is what he said. He said he was raised Catholic. You know, I asked him about his spiritual background, and then he said he changed to Pentecostal. Then he just kind of got burnt out on it. He lived with a youth pastor for about a year, and he said he got tired of going to church and things.
Trish,
yeah.
Can I just butt in here? I think I've got something for you that you're going to appreciate.
Yes.
I've had for years difficulty getting people to do interviews for television. I'd say, excuse me, would you like to be on television? No. But I had a breakthrough about 2 weeks ago. If I saw someone coming along wearing a black hat and they're wearing a white T-shirt and they had a big barrel chest, I'd say, excuse me, sir, doing interviews with people with big barrel chests and white T-shirts wearing black hats. The people, no kidding, they'd burst out laughing. They'd stop for a minute and I'd say, yep, you've got a nice black hat. Love to interview you. And say, what's your name? They'd give me their name and I'd say, would you like to be on television? And by that time, the barriers are broken down. They didn't feel, you know, pushed, and they seen a sense of humor, and almost get everyone. And I've been doing that all the time. So maybe that's a great way for you to get interviews. Just walk up to someone and saying, we're doing interviews, and have that little touch of humor. I think you'll get them.
That's great, Ray. That's a great idea. I'll have to try this. And the guy in front of me is wearing a black shirt, but not a black hat. He just had a black apron on.
So
his name's Brandon.
Oh, so you scored him anyway. That's great.
That's right.
You ready to go, Trish?
All right, here he is. Brandon, you're live on the air.
All right, Ray, take it away.
How you doing?
Hey, Brandon, appreciate you being with us.
No problem.
Hey, tell me what you believe about the afterlife.
I don't really know.
Do you ever think about it?
From time to time, yeah. I guess everybody does from time to time.
You think about your own mortality, that is your own death?
No, never think about that.
Why not?
I don't know. I just guess that day's going to come whenever it comes.
Could it be that you're afraid of dying?
No, I don't think so.
Are you afraid of dying?
No.
Why not? It makes sense to. I mean, nobody in his right mind wants to die. There's something in you that says, man, I don't want to die.
Well, yeah, no one wants to die, but I mean, eventually that day is going to come. So I just try to live day to day and make the best of, you know, every situation in my life. And honestly,
okay, Brandon, you use the word eventually. Imagine if you knew for sure that it was like 3 days out. You were going to die in 3 days' time. Would that change the way you live?
Oh, of course. Yeah, exactly.
In what way would it change it?
It'll put everything I want to do in life on a short time period.
Like, so you mean you go visiting prostitutes or what? What do you mean? do everything you want to do in a short life. What are you talking about? Would you pray? Would you think about God? Would you wonder about the afterlife? Would you open a Bible?
Yes, I would, probably. I'd stay away from the prostitutes, though, but I'd probably do all that.
It would put the fear of God in you, huh? If you knew you were going to die in 3 days, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you don't know when you're going to die, so it's even more urgent. You may not have 3 days. I mean, we don't like to think of that. It's a horrible thought. But I guarantee every one of the 150,000 people that are going to die in the next 24 hours will probably be making plans for the future of some sort. You know, we don't like to think about it. But as you said, it's something we're going to have to face, and it's good to... So, you think there's a heaven?
Yeah, I can believe there is.
Do you think you're going there?
I hope so.
So, are you a good person?
I try to be, yes.
I'm going to ask you for an estimate. It's not going to be easy, but can you estimate how many lies you've told in your life?
How many lies?
Yeah, proper lies. I'm not talking about little, you know, tiny fibs. I'm talking about proper lies.
Oh, proper lies?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably say like a couple hundred.
200?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, what do you call people who tell lies?
a liar.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
No, I've not.
This isn't 201, is it?
No.
Come on. Now, Brandon, your whole life, have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else, even if it's small?
Not that I can think of, no.
You can't think of it?
Usually people take from me, honest with you. You know, so small, like DVDs or CDs or, you know.
People steal from you?
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay, now, do you realize what you're doing when you do that?
Yeah.
What is it? You tell me what you're doing.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, that's when you're taking God's holy name and using it as a cuss word to express disgust.
Right.
Very, very serious to do that, and it is called blasphemy. And under the Old Testament, under God's law, it's punishable by the death sentence. Is that serious in God's eyes? Now, Jesus said whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Of course.
Okay, Brandon, here's a little summation. We've gone through four of the Ten Commandments, and so far, by your own admission, you're a lying, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. Now, here's a huge if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I don't know. I think I'll probably be innocent.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the charges again. Here's the charges again. A compulsive liar, over 200 lies, a blasphemer, using God's name as a cuss word, and an adulterer at heart. And you think you're going to be innocent?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got some bonus points. I've done more good than I've done
bad. Oh, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
No, Sam.
Think about a court of law. You're standing in front of the judge, and you've committed a very serious crime. Okay? The judge has said, this is serious. And you say, yes, judge, I'm guilty. But I want to tell you that I helped old ladies across the road. I buy cookies from Girl Scouts, and I give to the Red Cross. Judge is going to say, what are you talking about? Because good deeds have got nothing to do with a crime. And it's exactly the same with God. That won't even fit in the scales. It won't even be up on the scales. You're going to be guilty. And listen, Brandon, the Bible says God considers lying to be so serious. Scripture says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God killed a husband and wife in the book of Acts because they told one lie. And Scripture says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no blasphemer, no fornicator, or adulterous person will inherit the kingdom of God. So does it concern that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell?
Yeah, after you tell me all that.
It's got to concern you. I mean, we've established that you want to live. And do you know what God did for us so he wouldn't have to go to hell?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what he did 2,000 years ago?
Yeah, he gave himself up.
Okay, now, do you know what actually happened on that cross? Can you put it in your own words?
On my own words? He was crucified.
Yeah, well, what happened, if I can put it this way, Brandon? You broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus stepped into the courtroom and paid the fine in his life's blood. He was punished for our sins, the Bible says. He was balancing the scales, so to speak.
Right.
He offered himself as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. In other words, because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can now legally dismiss your case. It was a legal transaction 2,000 years ago between God and man. God can commute your death sentence. He can allow you to live because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what you must do in response to what God has done in his kindness is repent, that is, turn from your sins, and trust in Jesus for your eternal salvation. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now think before you answer. If you were to die right now and God gave you justice, where would you go?
Probably to hell.
Okay, now what are you going to do about it?
Change my ways.
Well, you got to repent and trust in Jesus. Don't change your ways because you'll just be a reformed criminal. You need to have your sins washed away, so you need to repent, turn from sin to God, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. In the same way, you trust a parachute to save you. You don't just believe in a parachute, put it on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, when are you going to do that?
Probably next time I go to church.
No, God doesn't just dwell in churches. He dwells everywhere. You can do it right now. When you get off this radio, just say, God, I'm really sorry, because he commands you to repent today. And if you say, oh, next week, you may not get next week.
Uh-huh.
You know, God dwells everywhere. Don't think he just dwells in a building we erroneously call a church. He is omnipresent. So right now God is listening to us, and he's waiting for you to repent. So just go to him, and in the quietness of your heart say, God, I'm really sorry for my sins. I turn from the today, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ. The minute you do that, Brannon, you'll pass from death to life. God will forgive your sins and grant you the gift of everlasting life. Hey, Brannon, thanks for listening to me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Hey, Brannon, don't run away for just a moment. I'm another guy on the radio program, okay?
How's it going?
You know, pretty swell. It's very interesting listening to this. You went to church and you were hanging out at a youth pastor's house and went to church frequently, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I lived with my youth pastor for a year and a half.
Got burned out, though, didn't you?
Yeah. I was in church like literally twice a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there every day.
Hey, Brannon, I can speak from some experience on this. There's a lot of people, including myself, who are false converts. I used to go to church, and I was not a believer, and I found it to be tedious and more of a chore than a joy. And it's only when you understand that you need to repent and trust. I mean, complete death to self, fleeing to Jesus because he died, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and he's kind, and he's waiting to save you. That is when you will truly get saved. And I'm telling you, everything will change. Last time, whatever your experiences were false. They had to have been because you don't have that joy and you've not endured in the faith. So please, Brannon, think. I know you've had some experiences. It's repentance and faith, complete surrender, and he'll save you, and it'll be different, and he'll grant you everlasting life. All right, dude?
All right.
Hey.
I'll definitely do it.
I'm glad we chatted today.
Yeah, it's nice meeting y'all.
This is Pray for Him.
Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed with the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
You know what's bad?
Traffic.
You know what's worse? False teaching. Yeah. So why not learn about false teaching the next time you're sitting in traffic? Drive-by false teaching. 79 lectures on false teaching, perfect for your morning commute. Join Phil Johnson, Mike Fabares, and Todd as they discuss false teaching that threatens the contemporary church. Drive-by false teaching will help you distinguish between the true and the false, or worse, the true and the almost true, and give you the tools to contend earnestly for the faith. Learn about the Church of Christ, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many, many more. Visit wretched.org/false to get your copy and learn about false teaching on your drive to work. wretched.org/false and learn to defend our Christian doctrines. wretched.org/false. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a 1-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And he said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, Ray.
Hello. Hello, Todd.
Trish.
Ray.
Yes.
Hi. You'll Todd. Be happy to know that I tried the whole thing with you're wearing a black sweatshirt and you're young. You look like you're under 20, and we want to interview you.
The problem is it was a girl who was 42. See, Trish, you got to be flexible.
Yeah.
Is what you got to do.
And what happened,
anyway,
Trish?
Anyway, it worked, but I still had to pull him by his collar.
Well, that's great.
And his name is Aaron. He's a young gentleman, and he says that he is not sure where he's going to go when he dies. He's open to talk about spiritual things, but the reason why he's not sure where he's going to go is because, I guess, the way he's living his life, and he just says he doesn't go to church all the time, and he doesn't pray enough, things like that.
Wow. You know what? Just a little clue. Once again, somebody right there in the Bible Belt in Texas who does not understand grace by faith alone. Just
and now. He's with two friends that I was really debating which ones we should put on, so I'm going to be talking to them, too. But I thought, you know, Aaron's the one. Guess why? Because he's about as tall as you, Todd. He's 6'8". So you'll see me with my right
tall
shoe
as
off
me.
On my...
Dude, you'd have to look up to him.
I'm not that... I mean, I'm freakishly tall, but not that.
Todd, I don't believe him. He says he's 6'8", but you know what? He doesn't seem that tall. I don't know.
That's because he's probably not quite as muscular as I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. Let's give it a go with Aaron, shall we?
Okay, Aaron, you're live on the air. Ready to go.
Chew off. Hello.
It's a long pass.
Isn't it? Yeah. He's a tall guy.
Wow.
The microphone's going up.
Aaron, you're not just busting our chops here, are you, buddy?
No.
Oh, no, there you are. Hello.
Hey, Aaron, thank you for being with us. How tall are you?
6'8".
6'8". What's it like up there? Do you like being tall?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. Well, you're first to know when it rains, buddy. We're last, us fellas.
Hey, what's up? Wait, I'm going to make it. How old are you, Aaron?
16.
All right, 16 years old. 6'8". I'm going to guess size 15 shoe.
14.
Oh, I guess I can't work in a carnival. Just curious.
Not a shoe, it's a canoe, Todd. Okay, Aaron, enough of this. Do you think God is distant or is he close to you?
He's probably in the middle, not close, but not far.
Has he been closer to you than he is today?
What was that?
Has he been closer in your life? Have you had a relationship with the Lord? It sounds like you used to go to church, or sometimes you go to church, sometimes you pray. Have you ever had a close relationship with God, or has he always been kind of semi-distant?
Well, it's been closer. I used to go to church every week, and I prayed all the time. But I guess my parents started working, and I stopped going because they stopped going. And
Aaron, did you give your life to Christ?
Yes, I did.
Why did you do that? What was the reason for you doing that?
Because I believe in God strongly. I might not follow him all the way, but I do believe.
Why did you give your life to Christ? Was there any reason? Was it because there was something missing in your life, or because you saw yourself as a wretched sinner with a desperately wicked heart?
No, it was probably because I wanted to show God my faith.
Right. So, if there's a heaven, are you good enough to go there?
Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
So you think you're a good person?
I want to be. I want to believe so.
So, Aaron, what about the Ten Commandments? Have you broken any of them?
Yeah.
Which ones have you broken? Have you had sex out of marriage?
No.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So have you ever lusted after a woman?
Have I what?
Lusted after a woman. Looked at another woman sexually.
Yes. Probably.
Well, this is what Jesus said, Aaron, and this really helped me more than anything get my relationship with God right. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So you just don't have to have sex out of marriage to be a upset God. If you just look at a woman and desire her sexually, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And God says no adulterer is going to inherit the kingdom of God. What about lying? How many lies do you think you've told in your life?
In my life?
Yeah, proper lies, not white little fibs.
Probably a lot, a bunch.
10? 100?
Probably about 100, 200.
Okay, so now...
Everybody lies.
Yeah, so Aaron, what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Okay, what about using God's name in vain? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay, that's very serious. Where you take God's holy name, remember the Lord's Prayer says, hallowed be thy name, and you've used his name as a cuss word to express disgust. That's called blasphemy. It's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments. What about stealing? Have you ever stolen something in your life, even if it's small?
Yeah.
Okay, so listen to this, Aaron. This is how God sees you, and this is by your own admission. You're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, and an adulterer at heart. So if he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
You're right. It's a terrible thought, but the Bible does say all liars live their part in the lake of fire. No fornicator, no adulterer, no blasphemer, or thief will inherit the kingdom of God. So does it concern you that if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell?
Yeah, kind of. Actually, yeah, it does.
Yeah, not just kinder. I was going to say it's God.
More than kinda.
Yeah.
A lot more.
I'd be absolutely horrified if someone had taken me through the Ten Commandments when I was just going along thinking I was a good person and I'd go to heaven when I die, probably, and then someone showed me God's righteous standard. I would have been horrified because, man, this is your eternity. This is your entire eternal salvation we're talking about. It's where you are going to spend eternity. Aaron, you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
He died on the cross.
Now, can you, in your own words, explain to me what happened on that cross, if you can?
They nailed him up on the cross, and they let him hang till he died.
Okay, that's what happened, but why did it happen? Have you any idea?
Because they said that God said that he was God, and they didn't believe him.
Yep.
So they tortured him.
Well, there was even something else going on the Bible speaks of. 2,000 years ago, God became a human being.
Yeah.
And the reason God became a human being in Jesus of Nazareth was to deliberately give his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. What happened is that you and I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus stepped into the courtroom 2,000 years ago and paid our fine for us in his life's blood. So that means God can legally dismiss your case. Okay, you're guilty before him, you're a criminal in God's eyes, but God now, because Jesus paid your fine, can legally dismiss your case. He can forgive all your crimes. He can forgive your sins. He can commute your death sentence and allow you to live because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, now there are two things you have to do in response to what God has done for you. Do you know what they are?
Go to church and pray.
Nope, but it was a good try. Repentance and faith. They're the two things you have to do according to the Bible to be saved. The Apostle Paul preached repentance towards God. That means you have offended God and you need to apologize to him and show the reality of your apology by not sinning again. That's when you turn from sins. You say, God, I'm not going to lie ever. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to blaspheme. I'm not going to fornicate. I'm not going to lust. You say, boy, how can I do that? Because lust has got such a hold on me. I love it. Well, God will make you a new creature so that you want to do things that please him, and he'll give you his Holy Spirit to enable you to do that which is pleasing to him. So you've got to repent, and the second thing you've got to do is trust in the Savior. You know how you were trusting in your own goodness to save you? You said, I'm a good person. Well, place that trust now in God's mercy, in Jesus Christ. You just willfully trust him for your eternal welfare. So here's the big question. If you were to die right now, where do you think you'd go?
Probably hell.
Okay, now what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to turn my life around and fix it.
Are you going to repent, apologize to God, just say, God, I'm really sorry, and then put your trust in Jesus Christ? Does that make sense?
Yes.
And when are you going to do that?
Every Sunday.
No.
Every time I can.
No, right now. You just go straight to God and say, God, I'm really sorry for my sins. Get right with the Lord now. He'll forgive you, give you everlasting life. And then take it a day at a time. Todd, would you like to talk to Aaron?
Hey, Aaron, how do you do?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, dude, you went to church, and maybe you weren't exactly sure why. Here's what the guy with the funny accent is getting at, and this is so important because you're a young man, but you can understand these things right now. You've got a big problem right now because you, just like the rest of us, have broken God's laws. He's going to get you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have his day in court with you, and it might be soon, it might be later, but he's going to make sure that justice is satisfied. And if God gives you what you deserve, dude, it is going to be a horrible day, and he will send you to hell. And the thought of that is horrifying.
Yeah.
So this is the biggest issue you can ever deal with in your whole life. Not what school you're going to go to, not what basketball shoes to buy. It's how do I get right with God? This is the biggie. So I don't know why you went to church before, but this is the big issue. God is rich in mercy, and he will save you this day. And maybe none of this has made sense to you before, the whole Christianity thing, and you went because you were supposed to, or mom and dad, and you know, you just went along with it. But this is the issue. You and God. You getting saved. So think about your sins today, and think about the Savior, and let the thought of his kindness of dying on the cross for you lead you to a place where you just get on your face and say, God, I'm sorry, please have mercy. You put your trust in Jesus, and he'll save you. Okay, would you please ponder that today?
Yes, sir.
All right, nothing more important today. Honestly, this is the biggie for you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Aaron. Hey, thanks for the time.
No problem.
We're going to be praying for you.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye. Would you please pray for him?
This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. The Senate Judiciary Committee is debating a bill that would protect babies who survive abortions. Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska sponsored the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. He told CBN in an interview that this hearing is not about limiting access to abortion, saying, quote, it's about making sure that every newborn baby has a fighting chance, whether she's born in a labor and delivery ward or whether she's born in an abortion clinic. This isn't the first time the Senate has voted on this bill. It goes back to last year. Remember when Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, in an interview on late-term abortion, said the infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother? That comment sparked a firestorm accusing the governor of infanticide. His remarks also sparked the ire of lawmakers who presented the bill to the Senate. The medical director of a NICU and clinical neonatologist, Dr. Robin Ferrucci, said at last year's hearing, whether or not we have the ability to heal, we are always obligated to care. This means that all human babies who are born alive are our patients, and medical personnel should be ready to provide the medical standard of care or be prepared to stabilize the baby until a team with more advanced training can arrive. While Democrats argue the law is unnecessary, Tessa Longmans, a research associate at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, argued otherwise. In last year's hearing, she brought CDC data indicating at least 143 newborn infants died after attempted abortions over a 12-year period, from 2003 to 2014, a statistic that the CDC acknowledges is probably an underestimate. Lord have mercy. The California State University system settled with a pro-life student organization, agreeing to revise its student fee policies and pay more than $240,000 in damages and attorney's fees. The settlement, following a federal judge's decision last summer, ruling that Cal State San Marcos discriminated against pro-life views in how it distributed fees to student-run organizations. U.S. District Judge M. James Lawrence found the school had engaged in backroom deliberations to provide $300,000 for a gender equity and LGBTQ pride center while declining to provide $500 for Students for Life to host Mike Adams, a well-known conservative pro-life speaker. The agreement reached requires all 23 campuses of the Cal State system, which has nearly 500,000 students, to adjust their policies in 90 days to make sure that student association funds for speech events are viewpoint neutral. Cal State, not the first university system dinged for discriminatory use of student fees. August of last year, the University of Florida agreed to make policy changes after a Young Americans for Freedom chapter sued. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1054. Tensions between the East and the West had been brewing for centuries. But when negotiations between Rome and Constantinople went sour, both sides excommunicated each other, and the divide between Catholicism and Orthodoxy remains to this day.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, are you ready to go fishing?
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right, let's go find out where Josh is. Hello, Josh.
Well, guys, I'm out here in the Gold Coast today, and I've got a couple of young guys who want to talk to you. Well, I've got Matt, who is 20 years old. Now, he's actually having a bit of a beer as he stands here having a yarn to us.
Oh,
and we've asked him about his spiritual or religious background, and he said he's got a Roman Catholic background. So this could be quite an interesting discussion. So we thought, you know, Roman Catholics come in all shapes, sizes. So we asked him what happens when someone dies. His response was, well, once you're dead, you're dead. You die. That's it. So, guys, it could be an interesting one for you.
And cheery to boot.
Okay, well, hang on. I've just been told the guys are lying to us. It's actually Tim now who's going to be talking to us. He gave us a false name. But anyway.
Did you say his name changed, or we're going to talk to two people?
Well, we had him. He was originally said his name's Matt, and now it's being told it's Tim.
Tim, all so right.
It could change again. We don't know.
At least they're both biblical names, so that's something.
God and Ray.
Tim, your name is Tim, is it? Your name's Tim? That's great.
Yeah.
My name's Ray, Tim. Thanks for coming on the program. So you're drinking beer at the moment?
I'm drinking Canadian Club.
You are? Are you coherent?
Might be a bit of a disgrace to you Americans, but yeah, I'm drinking Canadian Club.
How many have you had, Tim?
What? Since when?
Yeah, in the last 6 hours.
Probably about, to make it easy, I'd say I would have at least had six.
Six. So you're a little bit slow in the
just
brain,
six.
So we'll just have to allow for that. Tell me, what do you think happens?
I'm not slow. No.
Okay, let's see how fast you are. Hey, what was the highest mountain in the world before Mount Everest was discovered?
I don't know. Probably Mount Kosciuszko. I don't know.
No, Mount Everest has always been the highest mountain, even before it was discovered.
Mount Everest was the highest mountain before it was discovered.
I got it.
It's like a joke, and it's to see if you're coherent or not. So tell me this, Tim. What do you think happens after someone dies?
I don't know. All their family gets together, have a bit of a gathering, celebrate their death.
Yeah. Where did they go? Where did the person go that passed on?
I don't know. I guess you'll have to ask someone dead and where they go. Because I don't know. I've never really talked to anyone that's dead.
You can, Yes, absolutely. There's been one that died and rose from the dead, and you can talk to them.
I'm a bit scared of talking to the dead.
Well, this one's alive.
Really,
I wouldn't talk to dead people because they don't answer you. This one's alive. He defeated death, rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and you can talk to him if you do what the Bible says. So do you think there's a heaven, Tim?
That is just freakish. Absolute bejesus out of me. Could you imagine talking to someone like that? Hello, my name is Jock. I'm 2,000 years old.
Todd, would you like to talk to Tim?
Yeah, hey, Tim, how do you do? My name is Todd.
Hello.
Hey, I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to give me really short answers, okay?
Really short.
Yep, here we go. Really short answers. Have you ever told a lie?
Many a times.
Many a times. So what kind of person tells lies many a times? You'd call that person a...
Someone that tries to...
A liar.
...cover something up, or someone that
a
tries
liar.
To...
Yeah, that person would be a liar.
...protect the truth.
Have you ever stolen anything, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah. What type of person steals things? What do you call that
Many
type of person?
Times.
Yeah. What do you call that person?
A thief.
There you go. So I've just learned two things about you. You're a liar and a thief. Is that right?
Are you kidding? Do you want me to grill you all over this radio station?
Yeah. Okay.
You try and grill me and I'll just sit there and I'll just pan fry you both.
All right.
Like a sizzling prawn.
All righty. So have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
The Lord's name in vain?
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
It sort of depends on what you mean by that. Like, not really. No.
No. Okay, so you've never
I
used...
I don't think I ever have.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think I ever would.
Tim, do you think that God exists?
I don't know about God, but I believe something.
Okay. Like, hey, Tim, let me... I want to tell you something, and then you tell me if you want to keep going with this conversation, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, let me tell you something, Tim. The people that you're talking to right now... Believe it or not, we're really concerned about you because we think that God exists, okay?
I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I'm not saying that he does.
Yeah, but here's our concern, Tim. If God exists, we're afraid that when you die, he's going to judge you and he's going to grill you way more than I ever could. And he's going to ask you about your thought life, what you've done in private, the things that you've said, everything, Tim. And that would be a horrible thought.
Well... Instead of planning my life and planning around what's going to happen when I die and I don't know what's going to happen when I die, I plan my life around what happens today and what happens tomorrow, and I try and make the best of my life every single day. So if I make the best of my life every day and I'm happy with myself every day, if I get judged and I get sentenced to an eternity in hell or whatever you call it for having the best life I've ever had, the best life I'll only ever have, I'm quite happy to do that.
So you would be willing to go to hell for forever just so you can have some fun today, is that right?
Well, who knows that you go to hell? Seriously.
Well, that's what that's why I was trying to grill you a little bit, Tim, because if God knows every thought that you've ever had, he knows everything that you've ever done, he knows that you're a liar and a thief and a blasphemer. He knows that.
And I'd cheat with guys' girlfriends, and there's many sins that I'd do, and I'd keep doing them over and over.
Right.
But it's all because I'm living a happy life, and I live the way I want to live. I don't get told to live how I should live. You know, I don't want to be told, oh, you're going to get judged and like that. Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, if you've got a conscience,
who would want to live their life saying, oh, you're going to get judged if you do this?
Well, there's an alternative.
There's an alternative?
There is an alternative. Let me reason with you for a moment. All right, just go with me a little bit, okay, Tim?
Go for your life, mate.
All right, let's say that God exists. And let's say that you died, and let's say that he did judge you, all right? And he knew that you were sleeping with your friend's girlfriend, and that you were swearing and blaspheming and lying. Tim, he'd find you guilty.
Yeah.
What should he do with you if he's a good, just God? Should he take you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Well, I don't know. I guess that's up to him. He can decide when I get there.
Look, let me make it easy for you.
I'll have a friendly conversation with the lad, and when he says, oh, I don't think you're worthy, then I'll just take me bags and I'll walk downstairs.
All right. Well, let me tell you what he would do with me.
You want to reason with me. Can I reason with you?
No, I'm not done yet. Let me finish.
Exist.
No, let me finish, okay, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. If God judged me and he knew my thought life and he knew everything that I'd done, he'd send me straight to hell. I wouldn't walk there with my bags. He'd send me there. Because he's just and he's good, and I know what I'm like, and you know what you're like.
Okay.
All right. Now let's just say that what I'm saying to you is true, okay? Let's just say it's true. You die, God judges you, you're going to hell forever because it's the right thing for God to do. And Tim, let's be honest, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
No, not really.
You're kidding. How come?
I'll worry about it tomorrow.
Well, you can do that, but if what I'm saying is true, you're still going to get into trouble, and you don't know if you have tomorrow. You could die today in the ocean.
Your whole theory is on this, that God does exist and God judges people. If you wanted to be, like, believing God and all that sort of thing, then you'd want to know that God doesn't judge people and God would take anyone he wants under his own wings to do whatever he likes.
Well, if he's just.
Done wrong, like it'd be like me and my family. If my family did something wrong, and I know that they did something wrong, I'd turn around and back them and said that they didn't do it wrong. And I don't doubt for a second that God would do that to any single one of us living here.
Here's the way that it works out. According to the Bible, okay? I know you don't believe in the Bible, but this is what the Bible says, all right?
Who says I don't believe in the Bible? I'm a Catholic.
All right. Then this is something, then we'll leave it at this, and I just want you to ponder this today, okay, Tim? The Bible says everybody dies, God judges them. The end. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And you can't reason with him. You're not going to have a chat with him. He will be the judge, and he will punish you if you are guilty. But listen, Tim, my Catholic friend,
well,
listen.
Good on him. One day when me and God, we meet. We'll shake hands. If he wants to have a box, we'll have a box.
No, you're not going to shake hands. He's going to be mad at you because you've broken the laws.
He'll probably kick and he'll say, oh, you're a for everything you've done in your life. But then I'll turn around and just go, oh, I don't really care because I've had the best life in the world.
Okay.
And now I'm dead. Just torture me to an eternity in hell. I don't care.
Okay. Hey, Tim, if today or tomorrow you think about our conversation and you start to get a little bit concerned that you're going to have to face God on Judgment Day. You've got a Bible, don't you?
Can I ask you one question? Yeah, I do have a Bible.
Okay, then
can I ask you one question, Bob?
Yeah, you sure can.
What religion are you?
I'm just a Christian.
See, I didn't know that Christians talked to people and tried to convince people that God does exist. Like, I thought Christians backed their own way and they believed what they wanted to believe and they didn't have to preach it to anyone else and stuff like that.
Hey, you're close to the water right now, aren't you, Tim?
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
Yeah. Tim, I'll bet you're a compassionate guy, and if you saw somebody drowning, you'd go run into that water to try and pull them out, wouldn't you?
No doubt in the world.
Yeah, see, if what I'm saying is true, you're headed toward danger, and I just want to warn you about it. That's all I want to do. I just want to warn you about the danger that is to come.
Don't tell me I'm heading towards danger.
All right. Tim, if you start thinking about our conversation and it starts to trouble you a little bit, just grab that Bible and open it up to the Gospel of John and give it a read, okay?
The Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
All right. Hey, Tim.
No worries.
Stay safe.
Right.
Thank you very much for
day.
Chatting with us. All right. Goodbye.
Okay. See ya.
Ray?
Yes, Todd.
Was that conversation worthwhile, or should we just have ended that 7, 8, 10 minutes ago?
I think it was worthwhile. There were times there when he became a little coherent, but, oh, alcohol's such a killer. It so dulls the human brain and brings the sinful heart out in the unclean language and the rebellion and the self-righteousness, but God's word won't return void, and we'll see what happens. We'll pray for Tim.
This is Wretched Radio.
Glad you could join us today. We always appreciate that you choose to spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. False teachings. Nothing new to see here. Been around forever. I mean, since the garden and the serpent and... Did God really say that? The New Testament church? The New Testament canon wasn't even closed before two major heresies had already infiltrated the church. False teachings, nothing new. All the devil does is dress it up in something new and fancy and tries to deceive the contemporary church. And sadly, does. With drive-by false teaching, you'll be able to distinguish the true from the false, or harder, the true from the almost true, and contend earnestly for the faith. Get your copy of Drive-By False Teaching today at the Wretched Store, wretched.org/false. That's wretched.org/false. And be equipped to defend and contend for our Christian doctrines. wretched.org/false. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Obeying the Great Commission has never been easier. So far, you have given away over 800,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled with that number. But we're far from finished, my fellow evangelist. Not to be greedy, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple? Perfect for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is. Perfect for agnostics or atheists in your life. So visit wretched.org/purple and order as many copies as you promised to give away. The booklets are free. You just pay for the shipping. And together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. Now, if you're a ministry or a church group and you'd like to give away a gazillion What Time is Purple, we would love to send you a gazillion copies. Just email Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. al@wretched.org. He'll get you set up. So, obey the Great Commission. Visit wretched.org/purple for your copies of What Time is Purple. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Books of the Bible. Lamentations is a book of poems written by Jeremiah after the fall of Jerusalem. They are marked by weeping, woes, and affliction. But even in sorrow, Jeremiah praises God. He proclaims God's justice, cries out to God for mercy, and confesses his faith in God. Lamentations teaches us a godly way to express sorrow and grow in the midst of loss. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, Ray, what is this made-up little scheme you've got called Way of the Master Witnessing? When'd you create that idea?
I ripped it off. It's not mine. The way of the master.
I've heard about preachers like you.
yeah. But there was no copyright, so I took it. It was based on the words of Jesus in Mark 10, verse 17, where someone came running to him and said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus did not pray a sinner's prayer with him. He didn't talk about a wonderful plan. He rebuked the man for his understanding of, or reproved him for his understanding of the word good. And then he gave him the Ten Commandments to show him God's standard of righteousness and used the law to bring the knowledge of sin and prepare the way for the cross. That's the way of the master.
All righty. So let's apply that right now when we find Josh somewhere. Hello, Josh.
G'day, Todd. G'day, Ray. Guys, I'm out here today on the Gold Coast. I'm on the beachfront on Cavill Ave, which is a big tourist strip down here. And we've actually got a young lady who wants to talk to you guys, which is surprising because people want to talk to you. That's amazing in itself. But this young lady's name is Terry. Now, her religious background, she said, is Christianity. So we asked her the question, you know, what happens when someone dies? And she gave the typical Christian response, heaven or hell. But she said that's based on our goodness, where we'll go. If we're good people, we'll get to heaven. If we're bad people, we're going to burn.
Okay, so we want to just kind of probe a little bit, explore, see where she's at with stuff, and then try to, as best we can, explain how the whole afterlife system works here. All right, let's have at it. Let's pass the telephone and let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, guys, here's Terry.
Hello.
Hello, Terry. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Terry, tell me, what do you think happens after someone dies? Give me your thoughts on that. What happens on the other side?
Well, I think that depending on whether they've been good or bad, they either go to heaven or hell.
Okay. Well, you know what a scenario is?
A scenario, yeah.
I'm going to give you a scenario. I've gone to my bank, you've gone to your bank, we're in the same bank, suddenly this bank robber, someone shoots me in the chest and I fall to the ground. A dot comes up to me and there's blood spurting everywhere and every beat of my heart, more blood comes out. The doctor looks at you, looks at me, and then he says to you, "This man has got 3 minutes to live." And I look at you and I've got terror in my eyes and I say, "I'm going to die. What can I do to go to heaven?" What are you going to tell me?
Give your heart to the Lord.
Give my heart to the Lord? How do I do that?
I just ask him, invite him into your heart.
But why would I do that? If I'm a good person, I don't need to ask him into my heart, do I?
Probably not.
Yeah, if I'm a good person, I'm doing fine. Do you think good people go to heaven?
Yeah, I do.
So if I said to you, I've lived a pretty... Yeah, well, it is in the right place. If I say to you, Terry... I've lived a pretty good life. There's a lot of people worse than me. Am I going to go to heaven? And you're going to tell me yes?
Yeah, I probably would.
Okay, now what say I said to you, Terry, I feel guilty. I've lived in fornication. I've had sex out of marriage. I've stolen things and I've lied. Am I going to go to heaven, Terry? What would you say to me?
I'd probably just say ask the Lord for forgiveness and then he'll let you in.
Oh, that's interesting. And if I say to you, I'm a Buddhist, what would you say to me?
I don't know. I think, like, if it's a good, like, if your religion believes in something good, then I don't think any religion's the wrong religion.
So they're all kind of right. It's kind of a mishmash. Okay, now.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's turn the spotlight round on you, Terry. Do you think you're a good person?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. We've got the spotlight on you. We're going to see if you're spotless. Are you ready?
Okay,
now Jesus said if you look with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Probably, yeah.
Okay,
but
so
I don't go with anyone. I mean, I'm not married, so...
No,
I don't
no,
think
all
I
you have to do is look with lust. And the Bible says you've committed adultery in your heart, so that's number one. Or number seven.
Oh, gosh.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. And it's using God's name as a cuss word to express disgust. Instead of using a filth word, you've taken the holy name of God and used it in its place to express disgust. It's very, very serious in God's sight. So that's the third of the Ten Commandments, as well as the seventh you've broken. What about lying? Have you ever told a lie in your life?
I have.
Okay, Terry, what do you call someone who tells lies?
What do I call someone who tells lies?
Yeah, what are they
a
called?
Liar?
Uh-huh. And that's the ninth commandment. Let's go to the eighth. You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen something in your life, even if it's small?
Probably.
Okay, what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever hated anybody in your life?
No, I've never hated anybody.
Okay, have you got really angry at someone and wanted to sort of punch them?
Yeah, I wanted to do that.
Yeah, Jesus said if you get anger without cause, you're in danger of judgment. So God knows that. So let's just give a little summary here, Terry. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you have to stand in front of God on the day of judgment and give an account of yourself. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, and we've looked at four of them, or five of them, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Well, when you put it like that, probably guilty.
Guilty? Do you think you go to heaven or hell?
I hope not hell.
Well, this is what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. It says no thief, no adulterer, no blasphemous person will inherit God's kingdom. So you've got God's promise that if you died today and God gave you justice, bearing in mind he's seen your thought life and everything you've done in darkness is out of pure light, you've got God's promise you'd be guilty and you'd end up in hell for eternity. Does that concern you?
Yeah, it does, actually.
Terry, it's got to concern you. Your life is precious to you. Think of how much you value your eyes and your mind and your hearing, and how much more worth is your life. Do you know what God did?
I thought you could ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, that doesn't help to ask for forgiveness. That's like standing in front of a judge and you've committed serious crimes and you say, "Judge, I'm really sorry. I won't commit this crime again. Please forgive me." The judge is going to say, "What are you talking about? Of course you shouldn't commit the crime again. And of course you should be sorry." So asking God for forgiveness or being sorry for your sins won't help you on the day of judgment. You need something more. Do you know what you need?
What?
Well, imagine you're standing in front of a judge in a courtroom and you've committed a serious crime and there's a fine of $500,000 and you don't have a penny in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And the judge says, "You're guilty, Terry. Can you pay this fine?" You say, "No, I can't, judge. I'm sorry, but I can't pay the fine." And the judge says, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I care about you and I'm going to show you how much I care about you. I'm going to pay that fine myself." And the judge comes down, gets out his checkbook, and writes in good hard-earned money a check for $500,000, pays your fine, and then looks at you and says, "Terry, you're free to go. I paid your fine." That's what God did for you 2,000 years ago. God became a man, came down from heaven to this earth, and this man was Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, a perfect, sinless man who paid your fine in his life's blood. You know the Bible verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God was in Christ. God became a person so he could pay your fine so that your case could be dismissed. And then the Bible says it was not possible that death could hold him. He rose from the dead, and now God can freely justify you or make you righteous in his sight. He can cleanse you of your sins. He can forgive you because of what Jesus did. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, now, there's two things you have to do to be forgiven by God. Do you know what they are?
No.
Okay, think of it like this, Terry. You're standing on the edge of a plane. You didn't think you're in danger, and someone explained to you the law of gravity is very harsh, and if you jump 20,000 feet without a parachute, you're going to die. So suddenly you become fearful.
Uh-huh.
You begin to understand the issues at stake. And someone says, "There's a parachute here." So you have to do two things to benefit from the parachute. You have to turn to the parachute, and you have to put your faith into it. You have to put it on. Well, God has provided a savior, a parachute, someone who can save you from death and hell. And that savior is Jesus. You must turn to him through repentance. You've got to turn from your sins and say, "God, please forgive me," and willfully put your faith or your trust in Jesus Christ. The moment you do that, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed. He'll grant you everlasting life. He'll save you from hell. He'll save you from sin and death. But you must repent and trust the Savior. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, Terry, if you were to die right now, where would you go?
I don't know.
I do. You'd go to hell.
Maybe.
You'd go to hell. You have God's promise. That great big drop is right before you because you've not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want that to happen to you. Do you understand that? That if you died today, you'd go to hell? Please be convinced.
Sorry.
Let me explain. Remind you, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart by your own admission. And that aren't even your secret sins. God has seen your secret sins. Those thoughts you've had, he's seen. And every thought and sin that's against what he says is right and wrong has stored up his anger against you. So you've got to realize that or you won't turn and ask for his mercy. Okay, do you have a Bible?
Yeah, I do.
When did you last read it, Terry?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it? Well, please think about this. Get right with God today. Todd, would you like to talk to Terry?
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Good. Hey, what he was saying about how to get to heaven sounds a little different than the way you understood it when you first started talking. So here's what I'd like to challenge you to do, okay? Don't trust what that man is saying. Go get your Bible and read it and see if what he is saying is true, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So grab your Bible and read it and see if it isn't so that you must repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and then God will save you and he'll make you a new creature. Okay, Terry?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for spending time with us today. We really appreciate it a bunch, and we'll be praying for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Terry, sure. Take care. Thank you very much. Pray for her.
Until next time, go serve your King.